gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio with the garden editor, Claire.
Today, once again, we've got Claire joining us in the studio. How are you, Claire? All right?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you. I'm quite hot. It's gone really hot.
It has, yeah. Yesterday, wasn't it? Monday was really hot.
Well, it's going to be like this all week, I think.
Is it? All right, okay.
Yeah. It's part of climate change that we're seeing kind of the seasons shift around a bit, and we've had quite a cool August, I beg your pardon. But yeah, these Indian summer days of September, you know, I do feel for the kids though, don't you? Like, this just got nice and now it's back to school.
Yeah, it was guaranteed to happen, isn't it? They go back to school, sun comes out, perfect.
Absolutely. So I see there's lots of kids around sweltering and in new uniform with trousers a little bit too long and shoes a bit too big, but they'll grow into them, won't they?
And that regulation blazer, if they've moved up to the senior school, they'll have to wear that for the first time, won't they?
Oh, that's right. And that'll be, there's nothing like, I always think it's funny in this country, where we dress like trainee bank managers from the 1800s for our secondary schools.
Right, okay. So gardening today. What are we talking about today then, Claire?
Well, I thought we'll talk about, well, as it's back to school, I thought I'd talk through a bit of homework just to get a few things done from the garden, which have now finished flowering for the summer. And key amongst these is a garden that lots of us love for its smell, for its texture, and for everything that it gives us, really. And that is lavender.
Okay. I don't know much about lavender, apart from its smells.
Do you like the smell?
I don't mind it. Yeah. I think when I was a kid, I used to rub my fingers on it and, you could smell it then, couldn't you?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people use it for relaxation purposes or things like that. Mm. It's actually one of its defence mechanisms, because it does mean that it's not so attractive to certain things like deer and rabbits, which if you've got deer and rabbits in your garden, sometimes what you're trying to find is plants which will survive all the nibbles, and lavender is absolutely one of those. Did you know that?
No, but I haven't got any deers in my garden either. I don't think my garden's big enough for a deer.
Yeah, the muntjac are quite small, aren't they? Oh. They're quite nifty.
I don't know. Open a gate?
I don't know, but they can certainly get under things in a way that I didn't think they could. But
okay.
Anyway.
All right, then. Okay.
Why else might you want to plant lavender? Well, we say the smell is delicious. A lot of people use it for kind of relaxation and things like that. It's also brilliant for bees. They absolutely love it. Now, I'm not sure which particular type of bee is most attracted to lavender, but whenever I look at my lavender, there's at least two or three different types on it. So it's definitely gets that big tick. And the other reason why it's a great plant for around our neck of the woods is it really likes poor, chalky soil. So the soil that we normally have around here, which is quite free draining, which means it's not all boggy and wet in winter and it's quite chalky, that's the kind of environment that lavender likes, because it's basically from the Mediterranean. So that hot, dry, quite poor soil means that it works quite hard to get established. But once it does, it flowers its socks off for us.
Yeah, it gets all over the place, doesn't it?
It does. It can get really, really quite big. They're not the longest lived plants. After about 5 years, mostly people try and replace them. And I think actually, to the west of Basingstoke, there's been some lavender fields. Maybe not this year, but in previous years. But anyway, perhaps people can let us know in the comments if they've seen a lavender field nearby. But they do get quite big. So this is the time of year to do the lavender care, to make sure that your lavender flowers really nicely next year and actually keeps living as long as possible.
Have they got a big root structure, lavender bushes, do you know?
Well, yeah, they do. They have a fairly big one, because they need to access quite a bit of water in the ground, because they say they are a drought tolerant. They're one of my kind of climate resilient plants that I think have done very well to cope with all the changing weather we've had over the last 12 months. So it's fairly woody as a root system, but it's not too deep. It's quite wide. Okay. So they are easy to dig up. I don't think they're the kind of plant which likes moving. Some plants are a bit like getting a teenager out of bed. They're like, nope, I'm not moving. And if you move me, I'm going to sulk. So It's always better to take cuttings or to plant them new if you're thinking of moving a lavender rather than dig it up would be my suggestion.
Are they expensive to buy lavender plants?
No, they're not. And the reason why they're not is because they're quite easy to take cuttings and grow new plants from them. So from a nursery perspective, that means it's relatively low cost and low maintenance, which means the cost is quite low.
Okay.
The plants which are more expensive are the ones which are harder to do this thing called propagate, which is to kind of breed more of. But lavender is one of the more forgiving ones. So you can get them. You can pick them up quite often in various supermarkets, even though I'd always say look out to try and make peat-free choices if you can. And there's some good suppliers locally and on the internet for really good plants. It's a good one to plant. I would say normally autumn is great for planting because the soil is nice and moist and warm. But with lavender, I'd be tempted to hang off a bit till spring. And the reason why is they don't like getting their roots really wet. So if they don't have a nice bit of growth on top and it's just kind of like a pile of twigs sitting there, it can look quite miserable, not thrive as well as it will do if you plant it in spring. So it's definitely a spring planting one. But autumn is the time to look after your existing lavender plants if you've got any.
Can you eat it?
Yes, you can. I'm just racking my brains. Yeah, so I've made lavender biscuits before. So you don't want lots of it because it's quite a strong, you know, the smell is quite strong, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you don't want too much of it because it feels like you're eating your granny's perfume. And I think I've made ice cream with it.
All right, before. A bit different.
Yeah. So it's quite strong. So you don't need much. But again, if anyone's got any good lavender uses, please let us know.
And can you put it in gin? I'm sure you can. I'm thinking, don't they do a lavender gin?
I'm tempted to Google in the studio.
I reckon they probably have. They do every other type of flavour gin, don't they, or something?
Well, I was going to say, pretty much anything can be put in gin in my book. If you see all sorts of stuff, don't you? I mean, if in tequila you can put a scorpion, I think probably you could put lavender in gin. But yeah. It just might get that little bit strong and overwhelming. But it might be quite nice in a cocktail. I don't know. You've inspired me to do a bit of like gin research. There.
Mixology.
Oh, is that the term? I like it. Yeah, mixology. Lavender mixology. That's brilliant. So at this time of year, your lavender is probably coming to the end of flowering, which means the bees are kind of leaving it alone and it's looking a little bit kind of like got long stalks on it. And this is a time of year we cut off those long stalks and we try and cut back. There'll be kind of like a woodier, harder bit of your lavender plant. So just above that bit is where you want to cut it all off. And the reason is if you cut too far into the woody stuff, it might not grow back at all. But if you don't cut it back, it gets so big that you end up with hair like a monk. You know, when the monks have the bald head in the middle and then kind of the little bits around the edge.
Yeah, I think I'm going like that, I think.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it works on human hair as well, but all I can advise on is the lavender. So what we're trying to do is take off the long stalks and cut back in just above that woody stuff. And what that will do then, if you do it now, this time of year, it will give the lavender time to put a little bit of growth on. So a little bit of greeny grey foliage. So then you'll have kind of a lumpy, a kind of a lump for the whole of winter. And then the new flower stalks will start growing in the spring.
All right. Okay. Something I didn't know that. Something I've learnt then.
No. And the best thing about it, if you do it, you've got all these really long old lavender stalks. And so we've decided we can put them in biscuits, in ice cream, in gin.
Yeah.
What I like doing sometimes, you can tie them up into little bundles and you can either use them for Christmas for place name settings. You know, that looks quite sweet.
Yeah.
Or you can use them as firelighters.
All right.
Because all that smell is from these volatile oils, these compounds. So actually, if you put that on a fire, it goes like the clappers.
What you mean, so fire is in living room fire?
Living room fire or a fire pit. You know, we've got a nice,
all right, yeah,
nice
yeah.
Hopefully it's a nice couple of days. And if you people want to delay the feeling of autumn coming and hold on to the last barbecue of the summer or the last fire pit outside, your lavender prunings will go luck billio. So don't say I didn't warn you. You will get a nice big whoosh, but it's a helpful way of lighting fires and, you know, using up your prunings so at the same
you,
time.
Could you not rub it on some lamb or something before you barbecue it? Can you? Could you do that?
You possibly could.
With some rosemary and lavender and lamb? I don't know.
Well, it's very similar to the rosemary family. It's very closely related.
Oh, there you go. That impressed you, didn't it? I knew that.
Yeah, indeed. Well, it's the same kind of principle, though. Lavender flowers more than rosemary. We tend to use the rosemary needles a bit more. But, you know, you can put pine needles. I've seen people put pine needles in gin and in cocktails and probably on lamb as well. So anything with a smell is obviously good for that kind of barbecuing thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you're not sure, be careful. So like the yew plant has very similar looking needles, but it is toxic.
What plant's that?
The yew.
All right.
So it's like a really old big tree which looks like a conifer.
All right.
So if you're confused between your pines and your yews and your conifers, if in doubt,
check it out.
It's not worth it to have on your tombstone, died because I wanted a cocktail.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay. All right. I must remember that then.
Yeah, but I will report back on possible other uses for lavender. I am quite intrigued what a lavender gin might be. Anyway, leave that one with me. I'll take that away for my homework. If all the listeners do their lavender pruning homework, I will do some gin research homework. So there we go.
Or if any listeners have done any lavender wine or something, because that's quite nice. Oh, that I can imagine that'd be quite nice. Because years ago, didn't they? People used to make wine out of anything.
Oh, yes. I remember my granddad had a whole room which was full of all sorts of bubbly fermentation things. Now, I'm never quite sure what went in.
Moonshine. He was making moonshine.
What came out certainly was very alcoholic. I seem to remember.
Right. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So that's your lavender. Give it a bit of love now and it will repay you for next year and keep going as long as possible. And talking of cutting back, some people have a climate in their garden called wisteria. And this is a plant that has lots of very lovely flowers dangling off it in kind of spring, early spring, summertime. It's a Chinese origin plant, Chinese and Japanese origin plant, and it's normally a really big climber, which you quite often see on the edges of pergolas or houses. And what you might find if you do have a wisteria, that it's got lots of little, all I can say is like long green windy things sticking out of it, tendrils or whippy growth is what we call it, but you know, kind of really quite thin long green bits which don't look like they're doing much. And these are the things you want to be chopping off now, because if you don't chop them off, the plant will just grow more green stuff and won't produce as many flowers next spring. So with the wisteria, what we're trying to do is saying, please stop doing your growth. Please concentrate on doing flowers. And the first stage we encourage them to do that is by taking back those long green shoots, which have no leaves on, and just take them back to about 7 buds, we say. So back to a main stem, you count up a couple of buds and then you chop it off there. And it makes it look a lot neater as well. So we've had a lot of rain, haven't we? So
yeah.
A lot of sun.
Yeah, we had a lot of rain last week, didn't we? We're quite a bit of rain.
Oh, my word.
Week.
I meant loads. So that's why a lot of these climbers have probably put on a lot of green growth, which is great. But, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you want a wisteria, quite often you want it for its flowers, because that's what the spectacle is. So that's the thing to do with that. Get that green whippy growth, count it back to a main stem, about 7 or 8 buds back, and then chop that off. Now, I absolutely don't think you can burn that, eat that, cook that, put it on your barbecue. That might just be something for the compost.
I bet Jamie Oliver could do it, though.
Well, I'm sure one of these experimental cooks will now come and tell us. And well, of course, wisteria prunings are highly valued for their culinary.
That's right. Culinary. A Michelin star or something, you know. $32.95 for a couple of sprigs of that and a new potato or something like that.
Absolutely. Maybe plaited in a beautiful way. I mean, well, you heard it here first. If wisteria is edible, do get in touch, because we like nothing more than I always call it like a bog off plant, buy one get one free. You know, you got your plant and then you got your side yeast as well from it.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Have you got anything else to talk about today?
No, not so much. I have just come back. Actually,
I was going to say, can you talk about where you've been just briefly? Because we've got about 5 minutes, so
Oh, lovely. Well, I'll give you a very quick potted download. So I've been very fortunate. I've been accessed a grant to go and work and travel in a garden in the United States last week. And this is quite a famous garden because it's a very naturalistic, very wildlife friendly garden designed by a really, really stupendous gardener. But it's all public access and it's all completely free. So this is in Detroit in Michigan. And it's open to everyone every single day of the year. It's run by volunteers and all the plant names are all available on the website. And this is, you know, what we, you know, if there's posh gardens, quite often they're kind of behind closed doors or you have to pay a fee.
Yeah.
Or you might not know what the plants are and you have to kind of take a photo or take a friend and say, oh, what's this? Or you might not have a friend who knows anything. You might be the first person you know who's curious or interested.
Yeah.
But this garden was really inspiring because it was all about helping people understand about plants. So I went there and worked, and every day chatting to whoever came through the garden, people who were there for the first time. Someone got married there. Someone was there looking at the insects. Someone just was on a lunch break. All sorts of people, all walks of life. But it was just great to see such really amazing plants open for everyone. And I just thought it was really inspiring, a way of doing it.
What sort of weather did you have over there? Was it?
I was going to say it was quite hot. So you know how hot it is this week here?
Yeah.
It was like that and a bit humid a couple of days. And then a couple of days, it was a bit cooler than this. And all the volunteers were like, oh, this is so lovely and cool. I was like, it's still quite warm for me. and there were lots of interesting bugs and insects because it's on an island. And they're kind of developing some meadowlands as well. So there's loads of work we were doing to kind of help the native species and help the native biodiversity. It helped it a bit too much because I got bitten quite
a lot. Oh,
did you?
Oh, dear. That's not good, is it?
Quite a lot.
You'll be on that programme soon. It's on, I think it's on Quest, I think, and it Monsters Inside Me. You've been bitten by some insect abroad and, oh, yeah, I don't know. Have you never seen that programme?
No.
Oh, you must watch that.
Well, if I am, I'm going to watch it after I've put every single bite cream I can possibly find.
That was a bit different then, doing that, volunteering out there.
It was really good, and I've already kind of discovered far more plants and learnt so much from all the different horticulturists, so I'll be definitely incorporating that into my work. And it was funded by some grants to help horticulturists develop their skills, so it was a really good opportunity to do it.
So was there many plants out there that you come across that you've never come across over here?
Yeah, I mean, in the garden there's probably over, well, counting all the different types, there's probably about 300 or 400 different plants.
Wow.
And I reckon I knew about half of them.
Yeah.
And a good half of them were new to me. A lot of them were kind of grasses, some really cool grasses or different shrubs. So my brain did kind of go into sponge mode because I was trying to remember people's names and plant names and deal with jet lag. So I did feel a bit like by the end of the days I was a bit whacked, but I learned so much. Some very cool grasses that I've already started to say to a couple of projects I'm working on, oh, I think we should have some of this and have some of this. So I'm very excited about doing a bit more work on that and carrying on spreading the word.
And what was your favourite plant out there? Did you have a favourite?
I did have a favourite. It's called purple lovegrass.
Right, okay.
Aerogrostis spectabilis, and it's purple and fluffy, and it just forms. We went down really early one morning, and it was in the dew, and it was caught, and it was just absolutely divine. But there were so many. It's like picking your favourite pet or your favourite child. There's all sorts, but that was new to me, and I really enjoyed learning all about it.
And was it purple in colour?
Yeah, all bright purple. Really cool, like just like this purple. It looked like candy floss, it was purple.
So would you be able to grow stuff like that over here or not? Have we got the climate to do that?
Well, that's the thing. That's the interesting thing. As our climate changes and we are seeing more interest in autumn plants, which is when a lot of the grasses from the prairies, from the North American prairies, come into flower, we're seeing those become more unpopular. So I'm going to be working at Wisley Flower Show on Friday, and from Hardy's Nursery, we'll be taking up quite a few grasses, and they will grow here. They will definitely grow here. And I think as we, you know, enjoy sitting out in our gardens, perhaps more into September, maybe even October in the future. It'll be interesting to see how we develop our tastes, but it's nothing like pampas grass. That is the one thing I would say. We're not talking about big, big lumps of pampas grass, but far more exciting and exotic things.
Well, maybe if you've got a picture of that grass, you could put it up on the website or on our Facebook page.
I will do.
That'd
indeed.
Be something different, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's quite funky. But I realise I'm a bit of a geek about it, and I think most plants are quite cool. But I think from what I've put on Facebook already, I think quite a few people have appreciated that one. So I'll definitely share that.
So you got a bit of jet lag today then?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. It's whatever time. Yeah, it's 5 a.m. for me now. So,
is it? All right.
Yeah. Okay. So coffee helps, doesn't it? And, you know, it's nice weather, so I'm just trying to get my circadian rhythms by being outside during the day, which, frankly, on a week like this isn't hard, is it?
No. Well, thanks for joining me today. I appreciate you taking the time, even though you were feeling a bit jet-lagged and just need time to get yourself back into rhythm, don't you? Get back into the swing of things.
Absolutely. I'm going to go out there and prune my lavender later on today.
Okay. Right. Okay, then. So what your song today, your request for today is?
Oh, well, my request for the best song today is a song by Green Day, and it's Wake Me Up When September Comes, because I thought that's a good link of jet lag, us being September, back to school, and all the rest of it.
All right. We'll play that for you now. Thank you very much for joining me today. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks' time, won't we?
Absolutely. I'll be back in 2 weeks' time.
Perfect. All right. I'll see you then. Thanks, Claire. Bye.
Gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio.